This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Actually, we haven't been on Baltimore Sports Report for a couple weeks because I have not been posting there because it gets late sometimes and I don't do it. So I apologize. But there's plenty of other options to hear us. So thank you all for listening to us. Not a lot to talk about game-wise, only two since we talked last. But joining me as always, he did not meet Tom Wilson like I did. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. So we got two games, both up in New York, up against the Islanders and up against the Rangers. Now, the game against the Islanders was at the old Nassau Coliseum, which I thought was kind of interesting. They would play a game there. Both games, though, ended in such an odd way. I mean, the Islanders got a self-goal, and then the Rangers goalie chucks a stick at Ovechkin during a shootout. Not the smartest way of playing, but what's your take on that? I don't think I've ever seen back-to-back games end in such an odd way. Like, once, maybe something like that'll go crazy, but feels like it was like a Friday the 13th weekend almost.
No, that was definitely weird. I don't think I've ever seen that in an NHL game where a goalie has chucked his stick. And, like, I could see if it, like, slipped out of his hand or anything, but I don't think so. I'm pretty sure dude just straight up, he was like, uh-oh, he got past me. I'm just going to throw it. Hopefully I hit the puck and knock it out of the way, which obviously was not going to work. But it was like, kind of funny, but you're also kind of, like, in disbelief. Like, did that really just happen?
It's kind of reminded me of David Leggio when he was with the Hershey Bears about how he saw an opponent on a breakaway and he just flipped the goal over. And he's like, nope, you're not taking that shot.
Can't score if the goal's not here. They're like, that's not legal, buddy.
But it's kind of, it was really weird. The self-goal that the Islanders had, I mean, sort of anticlimactic way of ending, especially for them. I mean, it's a win. We'll take it. It's a win against Barry Trotz in his home arena. In the old, I guess, Islanders home arena as well. But still, a win is a win. I guess you kind of go away with it, and you're like, all right, we still got 2 points. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, the Islander game, I was watching that game actually at a bar, and it was not a fun game to watch. Especially, I mean, I have to imagine, I don't watch a lot of games at bars. In fact, it might have been like only the second or third in my life that I've done that.
Really?
Caps game. Yeah, I watch games at home. Typically, so I don't really like ever watch them in a bar, but I was watching it at Brew Belly in Olney, and which is a fun place, River in Olney. Go check out Brew Belly. And it was just a game where you're kind of looking over and you're going like, I don't see how they're going to come back and win this thing. And then for some reason, it felt like in the third period, they were like, all right, I guess we'll try now. They just like went out one and you're like, okay. I guess the game's over. And they actually able to come out and get away, kind of steal a win to some extent, because they didn't look like they were playing very well in the first two periods. In the third period, they were like, yeah, all right, I guess it's time.
Yeah, that's something that you and I were talking about before we got on mics. And we were kind of talking about how the Caps this season, and it's been a problem in the past as well, but they're having some really slow starts to games. They're not coming out. It doesn't feel as if they're, you know, playing at full speed until later on. Is that a time of the year thing because they've been doing it, you know, how many games now, you know, so far into the season? Are they tired? Is it bad coaching? What do you think? What is the reason for these slow starts?
It's tough to say. I mean, because like you said, there can be a lot of different things that could be the reason for why they're struggling. You know, is it the coaching staff and they're not getting them prepared? I believe it was, I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it? Oh, you know what it was? It was on the radio broadcast. I believe it was Ken Saverin who was talking about how that's on the players that they're having slow starts. It's 100% on them. It's not on the coaching staff at all. But I disagree with that to some extent. Yes, these guys are professionals, but they're still people, and they still like to, you know, sometimes you have to motivate them or push them a little bit. And I felt like, how much motivation, if you're a professional, do you really need if you are playing against a team that you are battling for first in your division, for that top spot in your division going into the playoffs? Do you really need that much motivation?
Well, you got to remember, a couple years ago when Shattenkirk was a part of this team, he came out and said after game 7 against the Penguins, when they lost and the Penguins beat them again in the playoffs, he said, "We just didn't really feel like we had anything to play for." And that was a horrible way of thinking. And I got so angry after I heard that. Because I'm like,
yeah, but is that him, or is that, I mean, is that everybody, or is it just Shattenkirk being like, "I want to go to New York"?
No, I don't think it was a Shattenkirk thing. He's just the one that said it.
Yeah, like, you know, Ovechkin come out and be like, "Yeah, we weren't interested." It's tough to say. And I imagine that didn't go over well with the players, because I doubt the players went and had a conversation. "Yeah, we weren't interested."
It seems like Shattenkirk has said that in the past. Alzner has come out and said that in the past. So it's not something that you want to hear from a team, like you said, battling for first, but it seems to be an ongoing way of thinking for this team. Doesn't matter who's here, just seems to be like that's the way they go sometimes. And I mean, they got really motivated when they were the underdogs last year in the playoffs, but this year they might need a new motivator, because it doesn't look like there's one there right now.
I mean, part of it is it like they're just waiting for the internet, for the I don't know what to say, for the playoffs to start, and they're just looking for, you know, something bigger than just playing a generic game. But, you know, you're not way ahead in your division like you used to be. You still have to fight to get first in this division. And if you don't, you might end up second or third playing against an upstart Carolina team that's playing incredibly well as of late. You know, do you want to go up against them, or do you want to go up against a team that's just scraping their way into the playoffs? So it doesn't seem like anybody's really doing that right now, because everyone in the East is pushing real hard to get in there. So it's tough, and it's tough to say exactly what it is. I think some of it comes back on the coaching staff, but I think a lot of it does definitely come back on the players, and we'll have to see as to sort of what happens going forward. But I thought I heard in the broadcast against the Rangers, they were talking about how the Caps they've allowed the first goal in something like 5 of their last 7, or even more than that, but they've still won 4 of their last 5.
So they're still able to come up with a win, but it's just they're at the beginning of the games, they're just not looking great. So I don't know. Maybe it is again that underdog mentality that they have. You know, they can come back and still win games.
They need to feel better about themselves. I don't understand that.
I mean, that's always been a thing in sports. You always want to be the underdog. You always want to be Rocky Balboa. Nobody ever wants to be Ivan Drago or Mr. or Clubber Lang.
I get that you like the being the underdog has its appeal, but I'd rather just be the team, honestly. Like, I wouldn't mind the Caps going through the playoffs and just sweeping everybody. That's fine with me. Making me, you know, win every game by 3 or 4 goals.
I mean, yeah, sure.
I don't need to be the underdog as long as you win. You know, I feel like if you need that mentality, then I feel like you're almost not playing for the right reasons. Like, you're already getting paid a whole lot of money. You should be producing as a result of it.
What is your way of thinking of fixing this this kind of lazy start, if you want to call it that, for this team? Is it something that needs like line changing? Should we expect to see, you know, Oshie and Tom Wilson switching places? Is it a defense problem? How do we fix this going forward?
Well, I don't think line changes is necessarily going to help, because they're still winning games. I think if they were struggling out the gate and they weren't able to come back and get wins, then you're like, well, screw this, I'll start a different group of guys. I think that could be better the thing. Instead of, you know, I'd have to go back and look, have they started the same guys in each game? Is that part of the issue? You know, it's the same guys that are struggling out the gate, and maybe you need to start different players. So the Islanders, you know, they and credit needs to be given to the Islanders for playing really well. But I think that it's some of it is maybe it's the players that are starting. I look at a guy like, I feel like Dmitry Orlov has really been struggling lately in terms of the start to games for him, and that he should be playing a lot better, and he's just not. And I don't know if that means that he needs to get a game or two off or whatever that might be. Not a two off, but like, does he need to not start? I think part of it is you have to look at the players that are starting, and do you need to go with a different format? You know, is it you're starting and they're giving up goals pretty early on? You know, who are the guys that are giving up these goals? Who's on the ice when these goals are happening early on? And do you need to switch to, you know, if you have it out there as your first, your top two lines, your top offense, defensive pairing, is it that they're struggling out the gate? Do you then go with a more defensive unit? Do you start with your third or fourth line to start a game just to sort of be able to handle another team's onslaught in the first minute or two before you're able to, you know, put your top line talent out there to be able to go out and score goals? I think maybe that could help. If you have a group of guys, like you put out there the new third line of, is it, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Hagelin, Eller, and Connolly. You put those guys out there to start the game, give them an opportunity to control play a little bit, or at least reduce the onslaught. I think Hagelin's speed is something that's been amazing for this team since they brought him in. And then you let them start the game and then bring in someone else. You bring in the top line, you put Ovechkin out there, you put the second line with Backstrom and Oshie and Vrana, and then give them a chance after the game sort of settled in a little bit. And I think maybe that could help. I don't know if that's necessarily the answer, but I don't think it'd be necessarily the worst thing to try. But then again, we'd have to go back and look and see what has been the starting defensive pairing, what has been the starting forwards that have been out there to cause, or what's been the issue that's been causing these players and this team to have such slow starts all the time.
And I think in between these past two games, we've kind of seen Carl Hagelin and Andrei Burakovsky switch places. It seems like they're going to be doing that a little bit more often going into the stretch. And I think that's a good thing to kind of give Hagelin a chance to kind of get acclimated to this team, to see what he can do after being traded. But like you said, Carl Hagelin, that speed that he has, man, that is a welcome change to this team. Very solid player, and I can't believe the Jets on this guy.
Yeah, he's fast. He's not a slow individual, let me tell you that. After he's done with this whole hockey thing, you know, Olympic speed skating might be in his future. No, I'm just kidding. But he's fast, and there's almost... I don't know who it was that put on Twitter. I can't remember, but they were talking about a point in the game where he took up all, we got the control of the puck in the zone. He took up off the ice, and I think it was Orlov Kempney. I can't remember who it was. Someone tried to give him an outlet pass, and it was behind him. Like, they just weren't used to someone that could actually get up the ice that fast. I guess that's not named Vrana, that can get up there that quickly to be able to receive the pass. And so I think that just kind of caught the whole team off guard. So I think that's definitely something that's going to help. It's going to, you know, push defenses back a little bit because they're going to have to account for him getting up the ice so fast, which then should open up the center of the ice a little bit to be able to move the puck up.
Who was your boy that you were a huge fan of? He was always so fast. He won a cup with the Kings.
I don't know.
Oh, what's his name? Come on. You're always giving him crap.
Wait, you mean your boy like I liked him, or your boy as I thought he was terrible?
You couldn't stand the player.
You played for the Caps?
Played for the Caps.
Oh, he wasn't fast. He was a traffic cone. You're talking about Schultz.
That's it. Schultz. I kept wanting to say Steckel, and I'm like, I know that's wrong.
No, Schultz was slow as crap. I remember there was a time, when Alexander Semin did the bongo drums?
Right.
On Mark Stahl? And there's a shot of it as it's happening where, like, I think it was that, where the players are, like, coming in, and you see Schultz is a good distance behind everyone else. And I think I was on like a message board and they showed that picture and they were like, look at Schultz, not even stepping up, getting involved, you know, trying to help the guy out. And I was like, no, 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 that's not the problem. The problem is he's just getting down there now. Like, he's that slow. So he sucked and he was incredibly slow. And the thing is, the game, it's like, it's important to be big and important to be fast, and it's hard to be both. So the Caps struggle, it seems to be, with teams that are quick. You got an Islanders team that's very quick, very solid defensively, and will beat you on the counter as well as control the play. And you got a Rangers team that's young, not very good, but they're fast. And the Caps are struggling with teams that are really quick.
It is very interesting looking forward of how many teams the Caps are up against that are in the East, how many of them are in contention. I mean, just looking at the next 2 weeks, the Caps are up against the Flyers twice, the Penguins, the Devils twice, they're up against Tampa Bay twice, and then at the end of the month, they're up against Carolina twice, and you throw in Philly and Tampa Bay into that week as well. This is not an easy stretch to end this season. This is going to be very difficult for the Caps. It'll be good for them to be up against these teams that are also in contention, but you don't want to see somebody go down at this point of the year or whatever like that. But this is not going to be a cakewalk. I mean, I was looking at my Facebook memories earlier today, and it was something like a year or two ago, like the Caps are already at 100 points. How crazy is that? This is not going to be one of those years. This is going to be a kind of grit your teeth, hope for the best end of the season, because this is not an easy schedule at all.
Where are they at right now? Oh, I went to the wrong thing. Hold
Come on,
on
coach.
I clicked stats too fast. Hold on. 83 points, 66 games. So they have how many left? 16 games left?
Something like that.
No, that's not. Yeah, 16 games left. So you have a total of 28. No, that's not right. What's 16 times 2? 32 games. Math is fun. 32 points left to get. They need to get 17 to get to 100. I think they could get to 100.
Yeah, but I'm saying like a couple years ago, they were already at 100.
Yeah, well, you look at Tampa. Tampa's at 104. Ooh. The next closest team in the entirety of the NHL right now to them is at, let's see, 89. Is, yeah. Why did I do it that way? I could just click on league. I'm dumb. Anyways, Calgary is at, Calgary? What? Calgary's at 89 points. Boston Caps are currently sixth in the NHL at 83, behind San Jose at 86, Toronto at 86, Boston at 87, Calgary. Is that Bruce Cassidy led Boston?
Boston.
What's going on there? Calgary at 89 and Tampa at 104. Tampa's just running away with it, but watch them blow it again in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's kind of their thing.
It's got a little bit. Well, it was our thing for a while.
Shut up.
Right now you're looking at, yes, they have a good chance to get to 100, but they're only 2 points ahead of the Islanders with one less game played. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Islanders have played one less game. Carolina is 5 points back. They've played one less game. Pittsburgh is currently in the first wild card spot.
That's who we would be up against.
They're 6 points back. Montreal, well, wrong division. And then you got Columbus a little bit further behind them. Columbus 2 points behind Pittsburgh.
They're the closest that potentially.
Yeah. And then the Rangers are not, they're 12 points back. Yes. They technically have a shot. The Devils. I thought the Devils were on fire early in the season. They just dropped off completely. The Rangers have a chance, but it's like,
no,
cause Pittsburgh and Philly and Columbus would all have to, and probably Carolina would
and Buffalo and Florida are all front of the Rangers.
Yeah, yeah, but different divisions. So, like, technically, they don't have to necessarily get past them. They could all end up together.
Sure.
But either way, that's a lot of teams that would have to struggle for them to get up there. But, you know, there's teams that can catch the Caps, so they can't necessarily sit back and go, well, our schedule's hard. Too bad. So is the playoffs. Man up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited for the playoffs. Like you said, you never go out to watch a game at a bar. If I'm not at a bar during the playoffs watching a game, I'm probably not watching it, because I like being in that that kind of out in the public atmosphere for those type of games. But I love going out to places where there actually is hockey on TV, and I don't have to beg to like have them change it over or whatever. But you know, anything else we should cover Caps world-wise?
I don't have anything else in my notes. I still think the stick throwing thing was pretty freaking funny.
I love the fact that they were just like, no goal. Keep moving. We're good.
Yeah, that I like, it happened, and it definitely took a second where you're like, what? Cause like you do that when you're in like, you know, gym class in high school, or like I'm at work, like playing with the kids and we're playing like floor hockey. And I clearly a situation where I know no one's going to get hurt, and we're just goofing around. You throw the stick to knock the ball away or something, because we can't use a puck because we have these big foam sticks. And it's all like,
do you mean pool noodles?
No. It's like plastic. The shaft of the stick is plastic, And then it's basically the whole thing is plastic, and they take a big, it's thicker and stronger than a pool noodle. Okay. But it's still foam and soft. So like if you were to get hit in the hand or something, it wouldn't really hurt. Like gotcha. A little bit, but more just because a big foam thing hits you in the hand. It was just weird. Like you're looking at it going, what? Did he really just throw the stick at Ovechkin as he's trying as Ovechkin has beat him? I couldn't believe it. It was so weird to watch that happen.
It was very odd. And I'm like, he threw a stick. That's a goal.
So then the refs are like, no goal. And you can see him be like, you had to imagine someone in Toronto was like, get them on the phone. We're going to look like freaking idiots. Like that dude totally threw the stick. Get somebody on the phone.
He was probably like, I didn't throw the stick.
The thing is, like when they were showing the replays, I was like, hold up. Did Ovechkin kick the stick by accident as he was going past him? Because when they're showing it from one angle, they showed it and it was like a normal speed. And I was like, oh, he might have kicked the stick. This might not count. And then they showed it from another angle, and I was like, oh, he wasn't even close. Like, there's no way that he could have been like, he kicked it out of my hand. Like, no. And you could play it up that, like, oh, it slipped out of my hand? But too bad. That's on you. You're not allowed to do that. It's a little, and I know it helped the cap, so it should be okay, but, like, it's a little lame that it counts as a goal. Because, like, he technically still could have missed, but I guess there's no other, like, repercussion for that. Like, if you make him do it again, if a goalie gets beat, he's just going to start throwing the stick anyways because there's no – like, you're not really going to lose anything by doing that. You're just going to make the guy have to try all over. So, like, is that – or, like, if they throw the stick, they have to get kicked out and the other goalie has to come in and do it again? But even then, it's I don't feel like that's enough of a deterrent from causing people to do that. But I just feel like winning based on the fact that the other goalie was a moron, it just doesn't, like – I don't know. It's kind of lame, but I don't really – I can't think of a better solution.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the commentators were saying, oh, do a penalty shot. Well, they're already in a shootout.
That's what the shootout is!
Right.
That's the same thing!
Just let him go back, do it again. But I got a little bit of news to talk about for Caps World. I got to bring this up. I got to meet Stanley Cup champion Willie Baby, Tom Wilson, down in D.C. Last Monday. Actually, it was just yesterday. And that was pretty cool. He was signing autographs at the local Giant supermarket, as you do. Kind of odd. But I saw the Capitals have been promoting that Wilson was doing autographs at a couple different Giants in the D.C. area. And it's all free or whatever. And coincidentally, I worked this past Saturday, so I had off on Monday. And I was like, should I go down there? Should I deal with the traffic? D.C. sucks traffic-wise getting in and out. Should I take the Metro? Da 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 da. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I got nothing else going on. I'm going to go, and I'm going to meet Tom Wilson because I have a wooden weagle that I posted up on my Twitter page.
Where did you get that again?
The weagle?
Yeah.
I got it for Christmas years and years ago. I got a friend of a friend made it for me.
That thing's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. But I got to say, I was in line with a couple different season ticket holders, and they loved the Weagle, and they loved all the autographs. And they're like, let me see who you got. And since I go to, like,
I can't read any of those.
When I go to, like, Kettler, and I meet some of the players, I'm the big guys aren't coming out to sign for fans. Like, you got to meet Ovi. Like, that was a rarity. But Ovi doesn't sign for
people. Only because we, like, found him.
Right. Like, these guys don't like to stand outside for free in the cold and sign autographs for people. So, like, this woman's like, oh, let me see who you got. I see Oshi. I see this there. And, like, that's where she stopped. Because I'm like, look, here's Dale Hunter from when he was the coach. Look, here's Neuwirth. Look, here's, like, it's all these people that are gone. And it was just very funny because she was like, oh, wow, look at all those signatures. And then she's like, oh, look at those signatures. Yeah. But
players are not quite as interested.
Right. But I got there, and of course there weren't any signs of, like, hey, go here to meet Tom Wilson. And I figured, go to the frozen food section. Why wouldn't you put the ice hockey player in the frozen section? He was not there. but I get to the seasonal section.
There, Brandon.
Well, I get to the seasonal section where all the Easter stuff is, where the peeps and the tie dye and the chocolate bunnies are, and that's where they have a table set up for Big Willie to sign autographs. And there's a line already. I got there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The signing was at 4. I wasn't standing in line for 6.5 hours like I did for the Stanley Cup, but I figured I'd be standing in line a little bit. So the line went up aisle 16, and then it wrapped around and went to aisle 17, which was baby products, and it was about halfway down that aisle, and that's where I was. So I stood there for about 2 hours, and for the next 2 hours, I saw the line go down 17, wrap up 18, go down 19, wrap up 20, and then circle around the store around the milk and eggs in the dairy section. So it was odd to see all these fans there, because like there were still people there just like grocery shopping. You know, it was like people that were just trying to buy baby wipes for their kids. And like, you know, you have all these crazy hockey fans clogging up the aisles. But the Giant handed out cookies to each fan.
That's a pro move.
That was already more cordial than Kettler ever was when we were waiting for the Stanley Cup. But Tom Wilson showed up at 4 o'clock. He was on point. They brought him in by the eggs. Everybody went nuts. And within 20 minutes, I got my Weagle signed and I got a picture. So it was really cool. I got to talk to him for like 2 seconds. I was like, "Hey, Willie, thanks for coming out." He's like, "Absolutely." He signed it, got his picture. He goes, "All right, thanks a lot." And I said, "All right, thanks, man." And that was it. Like, I wanted to promote the show. I wanted to invite him on the podcast, but you could tell he was kind of all business at this point. And he was like, "Yeah, I got a lot of people I got to get through." So he's only got an hour. So it was run very well. He was very nice. He's seen a lot of pictures online. He knows what to do. So it was really cool. I was a little bummed he wasn't like wearing the Stanley Cup ring. But other than that, it was really cool to see. And it's always fun to see Caps fans, passionate Caps fans.
Yeah, no, it's nice when you go out there and you all have something in common in a big group. And it's a little different than like when you go to a Caps game, because you're not really standing in a line. I mean, sometimes you are, like if you're waiting for food, but you're not necessarily standing all together in the same way. So it's been fun. You know, it's kind of fun. It's more like when you go to a practice at Kettler and you're just watching together because everyone's packed in so tight. Typically when you go there. So
you go to a game and there's different motives for why you're at a game. There's people that love the team. There are people on dates. There are people there doing business that are just trying to, you know, impress a client. There's a lot more than just the game going on at the game. So it's fun to be around the fans that really love the team and love what they've done with DC and winning the championship and everything. Like if you're going to stay in line for over 2 hours, you're invested.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's you're in. It's not a date night.
Right.
You're in there for fun.
Is there anything else we should cover in Caps World?
What's the next like weirdest place you think they'll have it? Like, I get why they went to Giant. Like I shop at Giant when I do my grocery shopping on the weekend, and I get like I'll be in there and all of a sudden I heard John Walton. I'm like, the hell, where am I? Well, what's the weirdest next place you think they're going to have a Caps player at?
Well, he's already going to be at a Giant on Thursday and then another one on Monday. Apparently, John Carlson was at the same.
Maybe he's just doing his grocery shopping. The Caps are like, while you're there.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
Although we do know he likes to shop big. You know, he likes to go to like the BJ's and the Costco, get the 4 bottles of ketchup. That's his thing.
Well, he's a little busy playing hockey. I don't imagine he has a chance on Sundays to go to this local grocery store.
Yeah, but I mean, Giant's a partner.
Well, he's making probably afford for someone else to get him his freaking groceries.
Hey, you know he does like they have an Uber Eats type of thing for grocery shopping. Actually, you know what? He doesn't grocery shop at all. You know he's got like a personal trainer prepping his meals and everything.
Yeah, probably. Sorry, you caught me in the middle of yawn. Yeah, probably.
All right, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Nope.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 1-1-1 with a win over Hartford. The Bears are currently third in the Atlantic Division with a record of 32-22-4, which gives them 68 points, 9 back of first place Bridgeport. They'll be back at it on... Oh, you know what? I didn't actually write a good sentence here. They'll be back at it with 3 road games over the weekend, starting on Friday with 2 games in Providence and then Sunday in Hartford.
Providence.
Down in Providence. I don't know if my New York or my Boston is worse. They're both not good, and they're both like a joke and comical in that way. But I don't know which one's dumber. Anyways, down in South Carolina, I don't have a southern one. That one's definitely not good. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Jacksonville. They're currently fourth in the South Division with a record of 26-27-5, which gives them 57 points, 9 back of second place Orlando. They'll be back at it over the weekend, spending Friday and Saturday in Maine, which I didn't know even had a team. I figured there's a team in Portland, Maine, but I know they were called Maine. Before heading to Worcester for a game on Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
What are there any Caps players or prospects in South Carolina yet?
I don't think so. What I would like to know right now is why there's some dude on who's Ryan Reeves apparently was talking to Jeff Merrick and Jason York about his rivalry with Tom Wilson.
Is it really a rivalry?
I mean, they don't like each other.
And they got in a fight once, right?
Huh. I haven't listened to it because we're recording. This one dude on Twitter is saying, Getzloff XL15 is saying, I give full props to Reeves. I mean, he full out said he and Wilson have the same play style. They both hate each other, etc. But one thing I give full respect for Reeves when he admitted that Wilson puts up more points than him. Not too many players admit that. Full props, Reeves.
Huh.
That seems like that was probably a really boring conversation. Anyways, yes. Moving on.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Like, did you know that Monday Night Raw was in Philadelphia last night and Gritty got his own t-shirt? It was Gritty throwing an elbow off a top rope. It said Road to WrestleMania. I need one of those shirts, even though I'm not a Flyers fan and I don't like them. You know, I didn't like Gritty when he first came out, to be honest. But
yeah, he still looks freaking weird.
But that dude has grown on me. But anyway, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, we'll start on a somber note as legendary hockey player and 4-time Stanley Cup winner Ted Lindsay passed away on Monday. The former Art Ross Trophy winner and 11-time NHL All-Star played 17 years in the NHL, playing 1,068 games with Detroit and Chicago, scoring 379 goals, 472 assists, and earning 1,808 penalty minutes. Lindsay is known for many things, with one of them being the first player to skate the cup around the rink after a team has won it. He was the first to do it in a way, he did it as a way of recognizing the fans, and then players just kept doing it year after and year after. He's also known for being one of the first players to start the Players Union, though it wasn't official until 1967. Ted Lindsay was 93. St. Louis's Jaden Schwartz was fined $5,000 for cross-checking Carolina's Dougie Hamilton. New Jersey's Curtis Gabriel was suspended for 1 game for boarding Philly's Nolan Patrick. And finally, Winnipeg's Adam Lowry was suspended for 2 games for high-sticking Nashville's Philip Forsberg. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Philip who?
Some guy. plays for Nashville.
Huh, never heard of him.
Yeah, never. I haven't heard a lot about him or have any angst about that name.
All right, well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff from time to time, whenever it is I feel like it, as well as talking about Arsenal Football Club. And you know, there's not, you know, baseball's coming back. I might start doing some more tweeting about the Nets and how they,
you're not going to Philly with Bryce Harper.
No, I'm not going to Philly with Harper. You know, I still talk, you know, they still have a really good team. They still have a really good outfield. They're definitely going to miss the RBIs and the home runs that he brings in and the sort of the national attention that he brings in, but the Nets still have a really good outfield with Soto, Robles, and Adam Eaton in right field. So I still think the Nets are going to be a really good team. I think they're going to turn around and make the playoffs this year. I like the addition that they've made of, oh crap. I sounded so smart now. I can't remember the freaking guy's name. Is it Patrick Corbin, the pitcher? I'm an idiot. I like had it. And then right when I got to the part to actually mention him, I was like, wait, is that his name? Anyways, I like what they've been doing. I think the Orioles have made some good moves. I'm pretty shocked. Adam Jones is still a free agent though. Right?
I haven't really been paying attention to the Orioles. Not going to lie.
I'm pretty sure. Oh god, I typed in Adam Jones and the Pac-Man Jones came up. That's
ew.
He's apparently up to stupidity again.
Yeah, being a douche.
He said to apparently when he was arrested, I don't know when, he said, "I will kill you." I'm not, you know what? I'm not saying the rest of that because this is a family show. Anyways, lower extremities. And what he wanted the officer to do to them. Anyways, we've gotten off track. But I like some of the things the Orioles have been doing. They're a young team. I think they'll start, you know, they're not going to win a lot of games, but I think they're going to, it looks like they're actually building towards something. Brandon says no. And I think they have a good, some good people in charge. At least the general manager is coming from an organization that knows how to not spend a lot of money, but also win in the Houston Astros and how they, you know, turn that around from being one of the biggest jokes in Major League Baseball to winning a World Series.
As long as Angelos is the owner, this team's never going to win a World Series.
Yeah. Well, is he even doing anything anymore? I feel like his kids are now in charge.
Yeah, still has that last name, though.
Well, just because they have the same last name doesn't necessarily mean that they're all, like, idiots. I mean, he's an intelligent man, but he's not a good team owner. Anyways, somehow that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, if you've enjoyed our rambling and me testing out this new mic stand that I got, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out about new shows that come out and all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals and whatever fun pictures that Brandon decides to post, like him meeting Tom Wilson at a giant food store.
But did you see what else I posted on Facebook today? This wasn't something funny or whatever. This was actually great news. Almost a year after the accident, the last Humboldt Bronco, Morgan Gobiel, I think his last name, is finally going home. He was released from the hospital. So congratulations to him.
That's great. That's good. You know, that whole thing was
unbelievable. It was terrible. Yeah. But he was in the hospital for 333 days. So good for him for coming home.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So yeah, go ahead and check us out on facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, can you tell people about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment, What the Puck, and all the other podcasts we do here. Like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page. We are also on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. So like us, follow us, do all those good things. So when a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we snuck in a live show this season. So you can go check that out on our Facebook page as well. The whole episode, you can watch us discuss the Capitals. I mean, doesn't get much more exciting than that.
Why are you making creepy, sir? You can watch us.
Yeah, you can.
All right, you ruined it.
All right, so make sure you go over to iTunes or Apple Podcast, write us a review, let people know about us, talk about us, be social with us, let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. And my whole desktop just moved for no reason. On March 6th.
Earthquake?
What's that?
Earthquake?
It could have been. The Capitals are up in Philly against the Flyers. That game is at 7:30 on national television on NBC Sports. It's Wednesday night, not rivalry night, but they're still going up against each other on a Wednesday. And then on Friday, March 8th, the Capitals are back home in D.C. up against the New Jersey Devils. That game is on the NHL Network as well as NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, March 10th, the Capitals are up against Winnipeg up against the Jets. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington as well as ESPN Plus. And that is also Go Green Night. So the Capitals will be wearing some St. Patty's Day green warm-up jerseys.
I was like, what does that mean? Oh, the bobblehead's coming up on the 26th.
That's right. And that's Jimmy Seafood in Baltimore is doing a bus trip down there. That's pretty cool. But you can go bid on those Go Green warm-up jerseys. Money goes to the Anacostia Watershed Association, I think it is, or Society. So check them out. And then one more game until we talk again. The Capitals go to Pittsburgh up against the Penguins. That game is at 7 o'clock. That game is on NBC Sports nationally and NBC Sports Washington locally in the D.C., Baltimore, Virginia area. So plenty of hockey, which, by the way, did you know that they switched apps on how to stream the game? It's so annoying. I've been watching it on NBC Sports app. Now you have to download the My Teams app. Just pick an app and let that
be it. What?
Yeah, I tried to watch the Islanders game or one of the games on the NBC Sports app. It's just the one that I've had forever, and the game wasn't available there. So now you have to download the NBC Sports My Teams app and download that one, and then watch the game on there.
NBC. Okay, I'm looking this up now.
They've been promoting it all season, the My Teams app. They just,
I don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
My Teams by NBC Sports.
So that's how you watch the games now. That is pretty much it for the show this week, everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
But anyway, Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm? Nope, that's not it.
No, we're doing the other one.